All you got to do is show up and be ready for what the Lord's going to do. Amen. And you'll find out that the battle is His, it's not yours. If you turn it over to Him, you find victory. You turn it over to Him, you find assurance, you find peace. You turn it over to Him, you find out that everything's going to be all right. Open your Bibles this morning into Psalm number 61. Psalm number 61. I do ask you to continue to pray for our church family and those that have lost loved ones recently. Pray that God would strengthen and encourage them and sustain them and minister to the needs of their hearts as only He can do. He's the God of all comfort. We can do little but share God's word and point them to God, but He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they ask or think. So you pray for those that have lost loved ones. Pray for those that are dealing with great physical difficulties today. Pray for Tanya. She had her port put back in Thursday to start chemo again. She'll be starting chemo here shortly. And just pray for her, just a young lady that is afflicted by cancer. She's just like one of my own kids almost. And we love her to death. And we just want you to pray for her and just pray that God, in the midst of all this, would let us see His hand upon her and give her the victory that she needs. Pray for Brother Delbert's son, Jason, this week. Until Friday, they wasn't sure that he was even going to be able to have bypass surgery. They was talking some maybe about a transplant. But they done another PET scan on Friday, and late Friday, they came in and told them that they thought there was enough heart muscle there viable for him to have the transplant, or not, to have the bypass, I'm sorry. And they're going to do that Wednesday morning. He has to be there at 6 o'clock Wednesday for surgery. So pray for Jason, 43 years old, just a young man. And he's another one that needs the Lord's touch upon his life, amen, upon his physical body. Pray that God would have His way. We know we have a merciful God. And we know that He's able. And then pray for the others that are still dealing with all their physical afflictions. It seems like every time we turn around, it's something else. Sue goes October 1st for her surgery. Found out she's got a brain tumor. And they're going to operate on her on October the 1st. Lift her up in prayer in a very special way. I tell you, you know, when the devil wants to defeat you as an individual, when the devil wants to defeat you as a church, when he wants to break you, he overwhelms you. Amen? Some people can go through the pressure, and some people snap in the midst of the pressure. When the devil was trying to get Job to curse God, to dishonor God, what did he do? He overwhelmed him. Had one servant come and told him all the sheep had been stolen and carried away. Before he was finished telling, the next servant come and said all the camels had been stolen and carried away and all the herdsmen had been killed, and he alone, as the other, had been spared to come and tell him the bad news. And then before he was done, another one come by to tell him that all his donkeys had been stolen and carried away, and he alone had been spared. And then before he was done, another one come to tell him that all his kids were at one son's house, and the roof collapsed on the house, and all the kids were killed. And he tried to make it seem like God was doing all this to Job, but the Bible says, "And all this Job sinned not, nor cursed God." As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us, and I preached a funeral from this Friday, that Job rent his clothes, rent his mantle, put ashes on his head, and worshiped God. Amen. And worshiped God. You know, when we realize who God is and we know God, we can worship God. Amen. even when things aren't going our way, and even when we're overwhelmed and circumstances don't look favorable to us, just because we know God. We don't know about God, but we know God. We know His mercies. We know His grace. We know His loving kindness to us. It's easy to worship God. Amen. That's what we're here for this morning, is to worship God. Seems like we're getting overwhelmed. Seems like it's just one thing after another. But we're going to worship God. I never forget Miss Ella. I will never forget her. To the day I die, I never will forget her statement. She's going through chemo. They done told her, they done everything they could do. There was nothing more they could do, and the cancer was just going to go. And somebody asked her what she was going to do. She said, I'm going to slap my wig on, paint my lips up, and I'm going to come to the church and worship God. Amen. Amen. That's the way we need to be. That's the attitude we need to have. That's where David is right now in Psalm 61. Let's stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, and I'll give you some background into Psalm 61. David cries, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. You may be seated. It's believed that David has written this psalm as he has been run out of Jerusalem. His son Absalom had, over a period of time, got people to come to him and to speak to him, and he won the hearts of the people, and it wasn't too long before he started the process of putting a coup in place, and David gets wind of this, and David is fleeing, and he's on the other side of Jordan. He's far from Jerusalem. He's far from the temple. He's far from everything that represents the presence of God. His own son is hunting him down. His own son desires for him to be killed. And in the midst of everything that's going on, all his family is displaced. All those who love David and are supportive of David are displaced as well. And then the word comes that the battle is to ensue. And David gives instruction to his army, to his generals, not to harm his son, to go easy, to go lenient with him, and to bring him back. But Absalom, in the midst of the battle and in the midst of everything that's going on, he's riding upon his mule, and he goes under a tree. Absalom had long flowing hair, and they said they pulled it. They would cut it once a year, and it was just a beautiful head of hair. But as he went under this tree, the branches caught his hair and snagged him and pulled him right off his mule, and left him hanging there between heaven and earth. And Joab, David's general, his leading general, the head of his army, came along, and disregarding David's instruction, he smote Absalom with a dart. He threw a spear through his heart and killed him there hanging between heaven and earth. And David's heart was broken, not only because of what has transpired, but because his son had had been killed in the midst of everything, even though it was his son that killed him or wanted to kill him, his son that was deposing him, David still hurt. It still lamented him that his child had been killed. So not only had he went through everything else, now he's dealing with the death of his child. He's dealing with the death of his child, and he's dealing with all this because of sin in his past that was continually coming to haunt his house because sin had brought some things in his life. Even though David had been forgiven, the sin that had occurred brought some baggage that David didn't want. That's the way sin is, folks. There's always unwanted baggage. Amen? There's always something that we don't desire to be in our lives and to be affected by, but we are. David's overwhelmed. David's burdened down. And he pens this song. And he gives it to the musicians. He says, to the chief musician upon neginah. That's properly a musical instrument, by implication, a stringed instrument. He gives it to be sung, to be lifted up, to acknowledge where he's at and where he's been and what he's going through. You see, folks, when we're going through trouble, we don't need to try to hide it and to bury it. Amen? So many times we're ashamed, and so many times we're distraught. We don't want people to think of us as being weak, and we want to bury what we're going through. We want to bury what we're dealing with. We won't come to the altar and pray. We won't come and seek God's face because people will think there's something wrong with me. I got news for you. There's something wrong with all of us. Amen. All of us have a problem. All of us have an issue. It's called the flesh, and we're weak in the flesh, but praise God, we can be mighty and we can be strong in Jesus. Amen. We need to get over this idea that, well, I don't want to go to the altar. People just think I'm weak and I can't deal with this. I don't want to go to the altar. People think there's sin in my life and I'm dealing with sin. I don't want to go to the altar. We got a multitude of reasons why we don't want to come, and we don't want to acknowledge when we're overwhelmed and when we're dealing with things in our life. Let me tell you what, the best place for a child of God to be is on his face before an almighty God. And let the world know that you're trusting in the Lord. David said, here's a song you can sing about my trouble. Here's a song you can sing about what I'm going to. It's kind of like that old song, I'm a man of constant. I am a man of constant sorrow. Amen. Amen. At least he's honest enough to admit it. Amen. At least he's honest enough to cry out. I've taught you all the first two verses of this psalm. I love this psalm. I sing it all the time. I find myself overwhelmed all the time. The last few weeks has been overwhelming. Amen. I find myself needing to sing this psalm. And God just laid this on my heart. This is the message that you need to preach. This is the message that folks need to hear. When you're overwhelmed, there's a place to go. Amen. How many remember Psalm 61? How many can sing Psalm 61? One or two of you. Hear my cry, O Lord. O God. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Sing it. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Sing it. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Sing it again. Somebody come pray with you. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Sing it again. Hear me. It's an altar call. It's turned into an altar call. It's an altar call. Won't you come? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Keep singing it, Brother Jim. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Love you, buddy. Oh, Lord, just bless him. Help him, Father, whatever it is he needs help with. God, strengthen him as only you can. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. That is high. Oh, God, I just pray today that you'd be with this son and this daughter, Lord, as they come. Their hearts are overwhelmed. Lord, just give them what they need. Help them, Father, to find peace, strength, and hope and help in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name I pray today. I say amen and amen. Amen. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto. Lord, we thank you for Sister Mary. Thank you for this dear mother of God and the burden of her heart. Father, just help her, Lord, to find peace in the midst of this storm. Help her, God, not to be overwhelmed with all, Lord, that is happening, but Father, just to find strength and hope and peace in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. To the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Amen. See, David knew where to go. Look at David's plea. As he's crying out to God, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Amen. He's not commanding God. He's not ordering God. He's just pleading with God because he knows God and he knows what God can do. I got news for you this morning. God knows you, and he knows what you need. And if you know God, you know that this morning. Amen. And if you know that you can find peace if you'll just come to him. David's prayers and earnest prayer, he's not one of these little church prayers that we pray just to make everybody think we know how to pray. It's not one of these little prayers, kind of like the check the box thing. Well, I got that accomplished today. It's a prayer that's coming from his heart. It's a prayer that is given everything he's got. It's a prayer of consolation that God is going to meet his needs. I don't know, but he done blessed my heart this morning. I don't know, but maybe he's lifted some burdens this morning. I don't know, but maybe he's already met a need in someone's life this morning. And David prayed with the consolation of knowing that when he asked God to meet his needs, no matter where he was, God was going to hear him. And he prayed with purpose. Look at that. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lead me to that rock. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but I need to find a rock sometimes. Amen. I need to find that place. You know, Moses, he found that place in the cleft of the rock. Amen. He found that place where God said he would put him there, and he could see God's glory. He could see the presence of God, and he could see him. I need that this morning. It's the prayer like Abraham prayed. Lord, Abraham prayed, Lord, how? Amen. How? All I've got is the servant, as Eliezer of Damascus. I don't have any heirs. God, how are you going to do this? And God answered his prayer. Amen. Jacob prayed, Lord, bless me. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to stop until you bless me. Praise God. And guess what happened? God blessed him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Moses said, Lord, I don't know what to do with these people. Lord, what's going to go on here? And God said, Moses, just do it. Moses, just do what I tell you to do. Just follow me and you'll find what you need. It's the prayer that Peter prayed when he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. He was walking to Jesus, and the storm was boisterous around him, and he got his eyes off of Jesus, and he got his eyes on the storm. He got overwhelmed, and he was seeking, and he screamed with the top of his lungs. He prayed, Lord, save me. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'll tell you what, we got a God that hears prayer. We got a God that knows when we're overwhelmed. We got a God that knows when the devil's put more on us than what we're able to deal with, and he knows just how to bring peace to our heart and our life. Amen. He knows just how to calm those storms that are raging. It don't mean the storm stops. It just means he calms the storm around us. Amen. Paul was on his way to Rome. They were in the midst of the storm. Everybody's worried. Everybody's throwing everything off of the ship. Some of them getting ready to abandon the ship and leave everybody behind. Everybody got that mentality that the flesh has every man to himself and every man for himself. Amen. You ever been in a situation where you thought you could depend on somebody and they done abandoned you? You thought you could find help somewhere and you got abandoned. Amen. And you found out that Jesus was right there. That's where Paul was. Everybody was scurrying. Every man for himself. And let's get out of this sinking ship and let's go somewhere. And praise God, the angel of God showed up. In other words, that's a manifestation. That's the presence of God. He said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am, stood by me this night. Praise God. I tell you what, the storm might rage, but he won't let you go through it alone. Amen. Amen. He can bring peace to you. He can bring peace to your life. Amen. Man, David made a plea that was a real plea. He made a plea. He prayed a real prayer. You know why we don't find what we need so many times? We want to pray these little mamby-namby prayers, and we everything's all right. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. My land, that's how you teach a little child to pray. But there's some grown-ups that are still praying just like a little child. Amen. Some folks that have known Jesus for years and they're still talking to him like a little child. He said, we need to get off of the milk and get on the meat. Amen. We need to make our prayers have purpose. We need to make our prayers have passion. We need to make our prayers that are prayed with the perfect confidence that the God that we're praying to is able to answer our prayers and meet our every need. David's plea was an earnest plea, because David's past had taught him a thing or two. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." You know, every time the devil comes along, every time the devil overwhelms us, every time the devil, and he knows what's going to get you. Amen. And if he knows it's going to get you, he's not going to leave it alone. Amen. He's going to keep digging it up. He's going to keep bringing it up. He's going to keep dragging it out. Amen. Because he knows where to get you. He knows where to strike. He knows how to touch your heart. He knows how to get you discouraged. He knows how to get you overwhelmed. But David says, "I can remember." Amen. I can remember. I can go back to the time. I can go back to the place. I can go back to every incident when I was overwhelmed and God had met my need. Amen. Every time David got in trouble, he could go back and say, "I remember." Every time David faced a new problem, he could go back and say, "I remembered." You read through the Psalms, and David says, "I remembered your mercies. I remembered your goodness. I remembered that you don't even remember my sin no more. I remember that I've been forgiven." Amen. That's one of the greatest things the devil uses. "Well, you know, you're no good. You know, you're just unworthy. You know, you're just a bunch of trash that needs to be cast into the pits of hell. You're undeserving of what God's got and what God can do. You don't deserve that. You're not saved. You just think you're saved." Isn't that the biggest lie the devil ever brought your way? Amen. But praise God, David can say, "I went back and I remembered that God forgave me of my sin, that God cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I remembered what God had done when Saul... I told David, says, "You can't go out and fight that giant. That's a man of war since his youth. You're just a kid. And that's a man that knows how to fight. That's a man who knows how to kill people. That's a man. That's not just any man. That's a giant of a man. You can't go out there." What did David do? He remembered. He says, "Oh, let me tell you something." He says, "I was keeping my father's sheep." He said, "And a bear and a lion came." And he said, they took the sheep from the fold. And he said, "I went and caught a hold of them. I chased them down. I caught them. I slew them. And I got my sheep back because they belonged to my father." God delivered the bear and the lion into my hand. And he said, "I remember what God did to the bear and the lion, and I can be assured that he's going to do that to this giant. I don't know what kind of giants you're overwhelmed with, but just remember the last time that you had a giant in your life. Just remember the last time that you had a battle to fight. Just remember the last time that you were struggling with something and God brought you through it." Amen. Amen. See, David is pouring his heart out. He's pleading unto God, and he wants the world to know. He wants everybody to know. He wants to proclaim, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to say there's times when I'm overwhelmed, but I'm not ashamed to tell you I remember the times that God has delivered me. I'm not ashamed to tell you there's been times when I was underwater. There's been times when I was under the pressure. There's been times when I was under everybody's thought and every need. I was nothing in anybody's sight, but I was precious in the sight of God. They hunted me like an animal, but God had anointed me. They thought they was going to destroy me, but God had anointed me. They thought I would never make it, but God had anointed me." Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't forget who you belong to. Amen. Don't forget whose you are. You say, David says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I get overwhelmed. But I'm not ashamed to tell you. That's what the church needs to do. That's our job. That's our responsibility, is to let the world know that when the overwhelming circumstances of this world and this life come our way, we have one that we turn to. We have one that sustains us. We have one that helps us. We have one that brings us through the storms. Amen. When my heart is heavy and I feel so low, and the storms of life around me roll, I just call on the Master who sends down His love and ask me to meet Him in that home above. When I feel so troubled and I feel so blue, listen, thank God, I know just what to do. I call on my Master, who sends down His love and gives me a key to that home above. Oh, close to the Master I'm trying to live, close to the one who loves and forgives. Her part. Close to the one who answers my prayer, close to the one who will welcome me there. Amen. You know, we need to let the world know. We need to let the world see. We need to let everybody around about us understand that we're not able to face all this on our own. But praise God, because of who He is and because of what He's done and because of what He's promised to be in His Word. Amen. I can go back time and again and find the instances where He's brought me through something. Find the moments where He's brought deliverance. Find a place where there was no hope and God gave me hope. Find a place where I was in darkness and He brought light. Find a place where I had sinned and He brought restoration. David says, I can go back. Thou hast been a shelter and a strong tower from the enemy. David has a plea that is made based on what his past has shown him, what his past has reminded him of. But look in verse number 4. David makes a pledge. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Amen. You know, when we go through problems, we make all these promises to God. Amen. I see people do it. Stephen can tell you, we had a baby dedication here a few weeks ago. I told them, I said, you know, the sad thing is, I've done I don't know how many of these baby dedications, and I don't think one of them kids is in church today. Parents have made that promise and made that pledge and made that vow. I've been with I don't know how many people that have went through some trial, went through some storm in their life, and they go through it, and they come, preacher, I'm going to get back in, I'm going to get faithful to God, I'm going to be faithful. I got one lady, every time there's a death in her family, every time there's a problem or trouble, she wants God, and she wants God to meet her needs, she wants God to help her, she comes, she's there right then, and she's there for the moment, she's there for a few weeks, and then you don't see her no more. I told her, I said, your problem is you want a trunk monkey Jesus. And Jesus doesn't work that way. You can't find peace. You can't find assurance afterwards. Because you only want God when you need God. You only want Jesus in your life when it's convenient to you. You want to pull him out like the trunk monkey and meet whatever need it is. You know, they got all the trunk monkey spoof commercials, and they got the trunk monkey that beat the guy up. They got the trunk monkey that knocked the car thieves out and throwed him off the bridge. You got OBGYN trunk monkey. The woman's on her way to the hospital and not making it, and the guy pushes the button. The trunk monkey pops out and delivers the baby. You want the trunk monkey escort. The daughter's out on the date, and they're amazed. The boy's amazed that the dad lets him take his car, and he gets over and he gets too close to the girl, and a monkey sitting in the back with a shotgun, and he chambers around, chunk, chunk, right? And the dude looks around, and he just backs off away from the girl. That's the kind of image that we have of Jesus sometimes. He's just a trunk monkey for whatever we need. We push the button and he comes out. Let me tell you what, he's not the trunk monkey. He's a sovereign God, amen. He's not a trunk monkey. He's not here to meet your needs when you want your needs met. He's here for you to worship him, to obey him, to follow him, for you to desire him, for you to put him in the place in your life that he deserves. David said, look, I'm in trouble. I'm overwhelmed. And the greatest thing that I can do is to find my way to your house. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you what. This is a war room. We prepare for battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. Amen. We got to be prepared for battle. But it's a hospital. It's where you come to find healing, to find consolation, to find the help that you need to keep on fighting. Amen. To be prepared for another battle, to be ready to go for another round. David says here, he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. You know the greatest place you can be as a child of God? Every time the doors of this church is open, be right here. Amen. You know the greatest place you can be, even when the doors of this church isn't open, is maybe to come in when there's nobody around. Slip right up there. Amen. Amen. You know where the greatest place you can be during a wedding is? Right here. You know where the greatest place and one of the sweetest places to be at a funeral is to be right here. You know why? Because this is the place where God's people come to find help. It's where they come to find hope. It's where they come to find the peace that passes all understanding, that brings them through the storms and the trials of life. What's so special about this? Well, David says here in verse 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what was in the tabernacle? What made the tabernacle so special? It's where the ark of the Lord was. The ark of the covenant was housed in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle. You know what was on the Ark of the Covenant? There was the golden cherubims whose wings touched one another and they stretched from end to end of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, y'all know what a covenant is, don't you? It's a promise. God has made a promise to his people. He made a covenant with them. He's made a promise to us. He's given us his word. The ark represented that covenant, that promise. And upon that promise was the cherubims with their wings touching one another. What was under the wings of the cherubims? It was the mercy seat. You know what David realized? That every time he went into the tabernacle, every time he walked into that place or went into the temple, that there was the ark of God. There was the symbol of God's promise. And under the covert of the wings of the cherubims was the mercy seat. He was reminded every time he went to the house of God of God's mercy. I tell you what, if God's people would get a hold of the fact that when we come to the house of God, he reminds us time and again of his mercy, his grace, his love, his compassion. Passion for us, it would stir your hearts to realizing that the problems of this world are nothing. Jeremiah wrote over in Lamentations, "Thy mercies are new every morning." David wrote throughout the Psalms not only that he remembered his past, but he remembered God's mercies. Amen. God's mercies endureth forever. And just because you're going through a problem, just because you're going through a situation, just because you're going through trouble, doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. He said he would never put any more on you than you could bear. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. He said, even if you go through the fire, and he says, we'll go through the fire spiritually to be tried like gold, that we might come out as pure gold that's been refined in the fire. Why does he do that to us? Why he does that? Yeah. Why does he do that to us? Because he loves us. His mercy endureth forever. David said, and David was one who was away from where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in the house of God. He wanted to be in the temple. He wanted to be in the place of worship. But he couldn't be. That was his pledge. That was his heart's desire, to ever abide there. In the 23rd Psalms, David writes, "And I will abide in the house of the Lord forever." You know, we got to quit making promises and making boasts and using God like a spare tire, like a trunk monkey. And we got to start realizing who it is that we're calling out to, realizing what he's done and what he's doing, realizing the sure promises of God that we have. Because when our hearts are overwhelmed, he's the rock that sustains us. He's the rock that helps us. He's the rock that has what we need. Paul says when Moses smote the rock and the water poured out of the rock in the desert, that rock was Jesus. He gives us water when we're thirsty. The devil knew that Jesus could say to these rocks, become bread. And he could feed us. And he wants to pour his spiritual blessings out upon you. Oh, but the greatest thing that he ever has been to us is a Savior. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. I got two more points. I think we're going to continue this tonight. When you're overwhelmed, just remember the Lord. David said, I might be down, but I'm not out. I'm down, but I'm not out. I might be discouraged, but I'm not defeated. I might be distraught, but the battle's not over. I might not have won this battle, but praise God, I'm going to win the war. Amen. I got news for you. I got news for you. The same God that David was dependent on is the same God that has moved through this place today, has moved through hearts and lives. He's the same God that hears and answers prayers when we put our heart into it. The same God that brings us to that place where we're sustained. That fortress Jesus, where we find protection. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.